listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this week's edition of The Big Puzzle. It is Sunday, July the 5th, 2020. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen in northern British Columbia. My name is Barry Prince. I'm being broadcast through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so we have said many times, please, if you can afford to throw a few bucks into the kitty for the stations, I know they would much, much appreciate it. I've got the Duracell Bunny with me again today, more commonly known as Roger Landry. How you doing, Roger? Welcome back to the show. It's been 2 weeks, buddy. It seems like it's been three, but it's been 2 weeks. And I know a lot of things have kind of gotten crazy down there south of the border here, so I'm kind of looking forward to hearing some of the thoughts you have as to the madness going on in your country right now. Welcome to the show, bud.
Well, the first thing everybody needs to understand is that it's not just in the United States, but again, as many, many, many people have said in the past, where goes the United States goes, and you can fill that in any way you wish, all the way from nobody to everybody. Depends on what you think of the United States. Okay, I live here. And Barry's absolutely right, because Canada sits right to the north of us, and our economies are super tied together. And a lot of the way we think is pretty much the same, simply because it's been a society that has pretty much moved freely across those borders for many, many years. Okay, what do I see happening? What I see happening is what Barry and I talked about several weeks ago. What I see happening is advantage being taken of an issue that shouldn't exist. What I see is black leader after black leader after black leader in this country standing up to say, this is not right, this should not be happening, over and over again. And what are they referring to? They're referring to historical statues, monuments, and things like that. Now, let's stop and focus on that for a second, everybody. Okay, I'm going to explain something to you. There is not a politician ever born. There is not a global leader ever born. There is not a national leader ever born that could stand the scrutiny of every day of their life. Each and every one of them will have done something in their life that can be misconstrued as being racist, or supported something, or so on and so forth. Where does it stop? History is history. The monument does not say that this person is an angel. What they say is that the history we all share was influenced in a large portion by this individual. By taking the statue down, do you negate that influence? No, you don't. All you do is rewrite the history books into more lies. Anybody who was alive before World War II will look at textbooks today and tell you they are not the same thing. And some of them will tell you that the textbooks we have today look like something they remember seeing from places like the Soviet Union, where the education is extremely controlled. What we are looking at here right now is probably the biggest economic boondoggle the planet has ever seen, times a thousand. What we are looking at here, and I did a show with John Stadtmiller not too long ago where we discussed that this was all supposed to go away. And on a show I did with you, Barry, we discussed that this was going to come in. It was going to they were going to get all of their metrics. It was going to go out as fast as it came in. And then a few years down the road, they were going to come back with the main play. But it didn't happen that way. And why didn't it happen that way? I want everybody listening to remember back when President Trump got in front of the nation on a Friday and said, we're going to be opening the country back up. I'm going to be disbanding this group I put together for COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. 2 days later, he came back on the air and said, well, never mind. I'm not going to do any of that. Now, why would they go from we're going to open up, this is over, to this could be a much worse situation, we're not going to do what I said we were going to do? Why? Because he was told, you're not going to do that. And why would they tell him that? The reason this was all supposed to go away and come back 5 to 10 years down the road was because it would give them time to measure all the matrix and to plan it in a fashion that would allow them to succeed as much as possible, to terrorize and imprison, self-imprison almost an entire planet. Well, geez, what do you and I happen to know, Barry? They accomplished that. Why was Trump not only that? But Great Britain, not only that, but Putin and a couple of other big countries told, no, you're not opening back up, because they had everything they wanted. If you look right now, they want a resurgence of this, even though doctors came out a couple of days ago, again, to state that nobody has ever died from COVID-19. Literally, they stated that. Okay, it's the biggest fraud in global medical history. But if you take a look at what's happening, we're talking about individual things going on. Step back two or three paces and take a look and see what's happening. You're looking at the utter destruction of small businesses, mom and pop businesses, all the way up to medium-sized businesses that were barely staying afloat to start with, but they were proud to be their own company. These are going under faster than you can shake a stick, and they're being bought up on literally pennies on the dollar by the top 2 to 4% of the wealth holders on this planet. Why are they doing that? Because they will control going forward not only all business, but all those who work for those businesses, all employment. What you are looking at is moving directly into a socialistic situation. Abso-freaking-lutely. Is this happening for real? There's absolutely no doubt about that. Anybody can step back and look at what's happening financially across the globe right now. So while you and I – I'm not talking about you and I actually, but while you and I – Canada and the United States, the majority of us are cowered down in our homes, frightened beyond belief. They are literally reshaping the planet right out from freaking under us, and we ain't getting no say. Go ahead.
No, I'm absolutely everything you just said in the last couple of minutes here, Roger, I couldn't agree with you more that, you know, what we're looking at here is the biggest scam ever pulled on the human race. You know, I'll give you an example. I kind of looked into the numbers for British Columbia. British Columbia has a population of approximately just under 4 million people living in the province of British Columbia. But we have shut this province down. All the economies, all the small businesses, basically have a majority of them have been shut down over a virus that's killed six people under the age of 60 years of age in British Columbia have died from this virus. Six people. All the deaths have been people over 60 years of age. Now, think about that. Think about that for a second, folks. We've shut down economies right across the province. We're training people to stand 6 feet apart from each other when that's the worst thing that you can do as a human being, because we're social creatures. We're meant to stand eye to eye, face to face, and have conversations. They're sticking masks on our face, Roger, and telling us that that's going to save us from this virus. And then we look at what hypoxia does to the brain. It's just absolutely mind-boggling that I'm dealing with so many stupid people. How else can I explain that, Roger? You got to be stupid. If you don't
Wait a second.
Just on the mask issue, Roger, people got to take 10 minutes and look at the effects of hypoxia and what it does to the brain, what wearing a mask does. Go ahead.
You're right. Agreed. You're absolutely right in everything you said, but they're not stupid people. These are people. You and I have had this discussion many, many times before. What is the entire mission statement of the Liberty Beacon Project? It's the eradication of programmed ignorance. That's it, from beginning to end. It's not a book. It's not 1,000 words. It's not 10 paragraphs. It's the eradication of program. What we're looking at are people who are being told, and they watch and they listen, and that is the gospel. Because they have been trusting it for so many years, they're breaking away from that, puts them in the comfort zone they don't want to be in.
Okay, so I'll take the word stupid back, but some days that's what I feel like I'm dealing with.
Because you were right.
Really, if you sit back and look at what's going on in our governments right now, and you don't have to be an intelligent person. You don't have to be a person with high levels of intellect to see that something is really, really messed up here. And if that doesn't stimulate you to do a little bit of research as a human being, then the word stupid, sometimes I don't want to say that word, but that's how I feel. I'm dealing with people that just can't do anything but watch mainstream media and drink that Kool-Aid and go to bed every night. Get up in the morning, watch mainstream media, drink the Kool-Aid, go to bed. It's really tough to break that, Roger. It really is. I don't want to use the word stupid, but sometimes that's how I feel, okay?
I have been called a Republican, and I'm not. I have been called a conservative, and I am not. I have been called an independent, and by definition of the word independent, I am. But what I do have is specific beliefs. What I do have is the ability to understand that what's being done today is choreographed. What I do understand when I said they had no reason to shut it down and compare their metrics and plan for the day when they could really come out for the bingo, because the bingo was already there. When they shut this freaking globe down, they truly did not expect as many to comply as did and as well. They truly didn't. That's where the metrics came in. How many people, who were the last two, who put up the most fight, so on and so forth. Okay? That's what the metrics were supposed to be. This was supposed to be a dry run. But when the entire world locked itself down, when the United States locked itself down, when this happened, they said, are you kidding me? We got it right now. And the wealth transfer commenced. Now, when I did your show almost a month ago, not the one 2 weeks ago, what I told you was at that point there had been a $280 billion wealth transfer from the bottom to the top. I would tell you at this point, it is well into the it's got to be close to a trillion. Last time I looked, it was 750 billion. This is money coming out of the public across the planet, going directly into their pockets.
Right.
This is the wealth transfer. This is the reason for this. There's no reason to keep economies shut down unless you're making a lot of money. There has to be an advantage to somebody because the lies are too thick. Let's go through some of those, okay? The test kits, even to this date, there are those accusing and stating they can prove that the test kits were actually infected with COVID-19. So not only are they going to say you had COVID-19, but if they've got to, I don't know, touch you where you've got blood coming out or whatever, could they in fact be giving you COVID-19? The next thing is COVID-19 is basically a cold. We all carry the genetic structure of COVID viruses. All of us do. So if you take that and the fact that governments have flat out been telling hospitals that if anybody dies that tests positive for COVID-19, which I just explained to you, most of us will, you have to put their cause of death as COVID-19, whether they died from COVID-19 or not. Now, let's boil all this down. We're talking 150,000 deaths in the United States from COVID-19, which ain't anything to smile at all. I'm going to tell you last year, the CDC admitted, go look it up online, that 80,000 people died from the flu, but the actual number is a little over 120,000. Now, if you take the numbers, 120 compared to 150,000, one more thing, 150,000, but there are professional after professional after professional doctors and researchers out there saying as much as 90 to 95% of the numbers shouldn't be there. They're lies, they're fake, they're propaganda. So if we go from 150,000 down to 15 or 20,000, what you can actually say is that COVID-19 has been the lightest flu season we have seen in two decades. That's how bad the lie is from the truth.
Absolutely, Roger. It's the biggest nothing burger in history. But you say to somebody that's been following mainstream media and the indoctrinated people, they just look at you like you're nuts. Like, how can you even say that? This has been all over the news for months and the numbers are there and blah, 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 blah. It some days I just go, wow, unless you've actually taken time and gone down a couple rabbit holes yourself and kind of looked at the other side of the story, we can't really even begin to have a conversation because I'm going to sound like a lunatic. But then in the same
moment. Wait a minute. You sound like a lunatic anyway, so don't worry about that.
You know what? The good news is that 2 weeks ago, people now really start to engage conversations in my little town of Terrace, BC. I'm engaging in serious conversations about all this stuff. And people's eyebrows are rising. Okay? Go ahead.
We're talking about things that are more impactful on the future of humanity, not just in the United States or Canada, happening right now than at any point since the peak of the Second World War. Nothing has even come close. 9/11 is a mere twink or a twinkle.
Precursor.
I don't even think so because we could throw a lot of things into that.
Yeah. But it was a conditioning. It was a conditioning stint, of course. But go ahead, Roger.
This was all set in motion, and most people won't believe this either until they do a little research. This was all set into motion immediately following World War II by a group of elitists who got together and decided that in the near distant future, meaning within the next 50 to 100 years, after they could milk everything they needed out of the United States, it needed to be taken down. This is not a joke. This was an absolute goal, was to get milk as much as they could from us and then take us down. And you might ask why. Well, they're doing this right now in front of our eyeballs. This is being seen. This country was built on economic power, and it's totally being robbed from us. But why are they doing this? Because what they discussed in those meetings was that the global governance, the one world government, the new world order, could not exist until the cowboys of the planet, the United States of America, had been taken to its knees. Now, Barry, you and I have actually – you've heard me – spout this line at least a half a dozen times over the years. But it was always about something that could happen or something that will happen. Right now, what you're looking at is the attempt to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about these scenarios, Roger, 5 years ago. We were talking about scenarios that are unfolding right now in society. Because we could see that we could see the play. I mean, it wasn't hard to read the playbook, and then you think about the mechanisms they can use to make the playbook happen, buddy. It's very simple, especially when you control the money. And we've talked about that so many times, that these big boys sitting in their iron castles, they control the money. And when you do that, you control the population. Now, what we see going on, they can create chaos in our society. In a very short period of time, Roger, I know that society is waking up to that. We see all kinds of other movements going on around the world. But the fact is that if they were to collapse the dollar and break that bubble right now, because it's a bubble, it would create chaos. And what kind of control would they get out of that chaos? That'd be the question.
I don't think that would be nearly as bad as most people believe it would, because I think if Trump had the ability to do that right now, he would. There is a lot of hubbub out there, and I can't prove it, so I will tell you that. I can't prove what I'm about to say, that Trump, through executive orders and some other maneuvering, has literally taken control of the Fed, meaning the U.S. government has taken control of the Fed, not Trump himself. All right, so that may say something very soon, but that's not what I want to lead this into. What I want to lead this into is, and what I started by saying a while back before I got sidetracked to something that I thought was important, is that I'm not a Republican. I'm not, okay? But you would think that just by the way you're treated, that you must be a Republican. So as a Republican – okay, if I'm fighting so damn hard for all of the things that I am, and a lot of them, most Republicans or conservatives don't really believe in all that much, why aren't any of my congressmen, why aren't any of the people who are in office appointed to high positions who are all telling us about the evils that were done, why isn't anything being done? Why hasn't anybody gone to jail? Why haven't these rioters who they know were bussed in from other cities gone to jail? There was a march, okay, a march in Georgia, and it was a black militia march, and they marched right through a state park, and they were calling out the white militia. And there was a lot of them, and they were all carrying AK-style weapons. And they were calling out – hold on, let me finish. They were calling out the white militia. Now, if you don't think that there isn't Soros money sitting here – because naturally, start looking, doing searches online for black militias, especially ones where they all have perfect uniforms, they all have automatic weapons, they all have – this was done to showboat. But my question here is, if those were conservatives out there, you can bet your sweet butt that each and every one of them would have been forced to prove – that they have the right, which they can have the right if they got a certificate, to bear that arm in public, okay? And you would probably find that a whole hell of a lot of these individuals don't. But yet it's never going to come up. Where's my Republican congressman jumping up to say this isn't fair? Why do we have one level of justice for these individuals and one level of justice for these? I am sick and tired of everybody out there saying that if you're a Democrat, you're evil, and if you're a Republican, you're going to save the world. I'm tired of waiting for Republicans to save the freaking world. They talk a damn good talk, but can anybody show me any progress on anything?
Yeah.
Can anybody show me them standing up in Congress right now demanding that something be done about all of the monuments being desecrated, all of the private property being destroyed, all of the lives being destroyed. Can anybody show me a group of conservatives on Capitol Hill that are fighting to put America back the way it was? Even if I don't think it should go back to exactly the way it was, but that's my point. I'm very, very tired of demonizing the Democrats, which leads those to believe, since you're not demonizing the Republicans, they must be the good guys. You got to prove it to me if you want to call yourself a good guy. You want to put that damn white hat on? Show me you deserve to wear it. What the hell has a Republican done for you lately, other than tell you how evil the Democrats are? We're being played not just by the Democrats. Don't ever believe that. The same elitist owns both of them. We are being played by both sides, or this wouldn't be happening.
I couldn't agree with you more, Roger. It's the charade.
Spit on myself.
The charade of freedom, you know? Oh, yeah, we got freedom, buddy. We got the Republicans standing up against those evil Democrats. Look at what those Democrats are doing. Look at this impeachment process. And look at all this other stuff with Russiagate and all the other crap. They're the bad guys. But you're right. When you look at it, what are the Republicans actually doing? What's going on in the states here in the last couple of weeks? They should have all been standing up and screaming at the top of their lungs that it comes to a stop instantly. Yes. Not tomorrow, tonight.
And that you are going to see. One of the most dangerous things that could possibly happen, and this is what everybody needs to understand because it's probably already popping into your head. One of the most dangerous things you could see happening would be a sponsored, just like bringing in the rioters to destroy someone else's town from out of state, these militia. And again, you can tell this isn't something that's been formulated over many, many, many years, and they all get together every week and do this. But you are looking at a group of people, okay, of color, who are standing in the middle of a federal park calling out any white militia, "We're here. We're in your house. What are you going to do?" Now, if this is something that is sponsored in any fashion whatsoever, what you're looking at is treason, because by setting that up, if you have any white militia in the area, they may take that as a challenge. What they need to see more than anything else is the use of U.S. forces in this country to quell what they would consider to be insurrections. If the whites go after the blacks, okay, if this is forced to happen, which is the only reason why this would have been done, is the end result of causing exactly what I'm saying. At that point, your rights go down the toilet. At that point, there's an officer, a soldier at the end of your street. At that point, there's half tracks going around the neighborhood. At that point, and I'm not joking. And do they want this? Of course they do. And why do they want this? They want this because it is the best and most assured way of making sure Trump does not get reelected. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? I'm going to tell you that they recycled the first COVID-19 scare again because they're sucking too much money out of us to stop this. And now I just told you this. Let me explain something to you. Anybody out there who believes that anybody in that cast gives a damn about you at all, you're an idiot. Look in the mirror, because there's a flashing sign on your forehead that says idiot. They not only don't care about you, but you are the mechanism for them to accomplish.
Well, of course, we're just pawns, Roger. We're just pawns, and we're not invited to the big party, that's for sure.
Unless we're awake. If enough of us are awake.
I'm not a pawn. I'm not letting them use me. I'm fully aware of what they're trying to do to our world. And so are a lot of people that are listening to this show right now are fully aware. And it's good that we have these conversations, because there is a lot of people still that are in the dark. And, you know, I ask myself every day, are we going to be able to wake these people up? Some of them we're not. but a lot we still can. And those are the people we got to focus on. Some people aren't going to do anything until they're knocking on the door, Roger.
Agreed.
With the little blue trucks to take you to the trains.
And you know what? I honestly still believe it's not going to come to that. I do. I believe in totality that there are enough people with a half a brain or better, because that's about all you can give most people credit for today. And again, let's get off on a slight tangent. Why is that? Why is there so much turmoil in America? Why are we so divided? Why are we so dumb? When somebody says the dumbing down of America to you, what does it mean? It means that, yeah, we just don't know as much as we used to. You got part of it right. And Common Core is the reason for that. And they don't even teach your children anymore that your rights are inalienable. They teach your children, check it out yourself, that your rights come from a benevolent government, which is the biggest lie on the planet. But that's what your children are taught. Now, let's put that together with the vaccines. Let's put that together with what's falling from the sky. Let's put that together with the addictive drugs that pharmaceuticals companies have so many of our children on. I could go on and on. You are looking at the dumbing down of America. This hasn't been happening. And Canada, of course, this hasn't been happening for the last 10 or 15 years. This has been happening since right after World War II. Most of you won't know this, but I'm going to give you a little bit of something that may explain a little bit of that. On his way out, Eisenhower did a farewell address in which he told us about what could be the evilness of the military-industrial complex. Everybody remember that old black and white thing where you've got Eisenhower there talking about, you know, keep an eye on the military-industrial complex. Okay. What most of you don't understand is that there was a section before that that was eliminated. It was cut. It was chopped off, and it was never seen again. That beginning piece, which I'm sure is in the archives somewhere, also warned us about the pharmaceutical complex, which is, in fact, the most powerful corporate lobby on the planet.
It is so.
So you talk about the dumbing down of America. You talk about a country that's on the decline. We had a 315,000 birth deficit in 2014. Hell's bells knows what it is today. I'll bet you it's a whole lot higher than that. And Barry, you've heard me say this before. In a couple of years, the only people having kids in America, if this continues, are going to be the illegals that snuck across the border. That's not a joke. It really isn't. And I'm going to tell you something else. You want to really put your tinfoil hat on? I did some shows with Dr. Nagari from Nigeria about 3 or 4 years ago, where the Catholic Doctors Association had found that some of the vaccines had been spiked with hormones, HCG hormones, to sterilize the women and another hormone to sterilize men. The Catholic doctors found these in the vaccines. Okay, there have been reports out already stating that the vaccines that are being tested have been found to contain the HCG hormone. If right. that is given to the planet, what you will do is you will effectively sterilize a mass amount of females across the planet. You will see the population within one or two generations fall to its knees. And that's exactly what they want to see.
Hmm. Yeah, it's one
of the Georgia Guidestones.
Well, it's one of many things, but, you know, I honestly believe if they want to follow the Georgia Guidestones at any time, Roger, they probably have a little virus put away in a lab somewhere that could wipe out billions of people. I honestly believe they possess those viruses. So whether it's a long-term plan or it's going to hit us really hard, that kind of remains to be seen. But I believe the Georgia Guidestones is the end result of their plans. How fast they're going to implement it, that's a good question.
They can't get rid of all of us. They can't get rid of all of us because they still need to move the engines of industry. They still need to have some sort of support industries, whether it's restaurants or banks or, a place somebody can go to buy clothes. This is all going to remain necessary. What it's not going to be is walking down Main Street and seeing five or six mom and pop shops pretty much competing with each other, but yet being friends, knowing each other, even freaking playing bridge together on the weekend. All right? You're not going to see that. What you're going to see is Walmart. Huge Walmart.
And more Walmarts.
Yes, and you're going to see in each Walmart, you're going to see Mickey D. Okay? And what I'm telling you is all of this is being captured as we speak. You can't go to church, but you can go to Walmart. You can't go to church, but you can go to Walmart, to the McDonald's in Walmart. You can't, and I could go on and on. How many people out there know that it's illegal in the United States for any business to ask you if you have a medical condition? It's illegal. They cannot do it. That has been upheld by the Supreme Court. If you walk into any business and you do not have a mask on, they cannot, by law, ask you if you have a medical condition to prove it or what that medical condition is. If they do, there's a fine payable up to $75,000 for breaching this law. This is not a joke. It's the Americans with Disabilities Act. Yep, write it down. Americans with Disabilities Act, and there's an article about it on the Liberty Beacon. But yet, how many places are you turned away from because you don't have a mask? How many people know about this? When we talk about programmed ignorance, this is why I don't like the word stupid. Nobody knows this. Not unless they listened to a show I did 2 weeks ago or this show, but now they do know. Okay? They cannot do that to you. But if you don't know, then you kowtow down. And you're like, okay, well, I don't have one. I'll tell you what, I'll come back when I do. And you turn around and slink back to your car with your tail between your legs. And you don't need to do that. What you need to do is a little bit of research, because the tyranny being pulled on you is not constitutional. Neither your state's constitution nor the federal constitution. It just isn't. The type of power being exercised against you is illegal. But how many people know that? They just don't. Well, they're so scared, so terrified, their ignorance has been programmed so well that they're reacting exactly the way they're supposed to. Good little doobies. Good little doobies.
Yeah, well, when they brought COVID-19 forward, Roger, they wanted to find out exactly how society, they kind of knew how society was going to react, but they wanted to find out for sure. And henceforth, they put that little fear virus out there, and everybody ran into their houses and hid underneath their couches. And, you know, of course, all those people that were good little, I won't say the word I want to say, citizens, they have now been earmarked in the government log books as people that when something else is going to happen in society are going to just bend over for the government, and there's not going to be any questions asked. And, of course, anybody that's standing against it will have different algorithms set against this. This was just a test, man, to see how far society would go without researching it themselves, without looking at where this came from, who declared this. Number one, a pandemic, Roger. You know what a pandemic actually is when it affects 12% of the population directly.
Oh, it's a demic in a pan. I know that.
Exactly, Roger. So they use the word because it strikes fear into people's hearts. All of a sudden, a week after, think about it, it came out on TV, and people said, wow, look at this thing go. And all of a sudden, the World Health Organization, 6 or 7 days later, comes out and declares this to be a worldwide pandemic. And you look at who's running the World Health Organization, and I mean, it's so obvious, man. It's so obvious who's pulling the strings. Our friends are in China.
We published an article a couple of days ago. I think our editor, Ralph, got it, that basically, or it could have been Pam, our director over in Europe, that basically said there are two scientists who have done massive research into this and state unequivocally nobody has died from COVID-19. Everything that they have died from has been as a result of, but if they had COVID-19 at that point in time, they were told to register them as COVID-19 deaths. They cannot understand from their research how it can be said that just about anybody has died from COVID-19. If that's the case, everybody stop and think about what I've been saying since the show started. If that's the case, then the numbers I've been telling you when I said it went from 150,000 maybe down to 15,000, now I'm telling you it could be down to zero.
Hey, Roger.
If this is the case, yes.
I've still been waiting from day one for somebody to provide proof to me it even exists.
Yes, agreed. And that's what I would like. And that's what these two doctors, hold on, here's your answer, Steve. That's what these two doctors would like. Because they can't. And they did their best to, and they cannot prove that anybody has died from COVID-19.
Exactly. Let's go back to what you said earlier in the show, Roger, about it actually.
I said a lot of things earlier in the show.
Okay. Well, we talked about actually if you've had a cold in your life, which I have, you're going to test positive for a variation of that virus, which they could very easily, under some kind of weird mandate with big, big bucks behind it. No, that couldn't happen. All of a sudden, it is diagnosed as COVID-19. And henceforth, we have the cases that we're having. But to me, this is the biggest nothing burger. When you really start to look at it, it is so incredible how mainstream media can control the masses, period. And that's the bottom line, correct?
COVID-19. Okay, let's talk about that because you just brought up a great point that most people are missing. COVID-19 basically means that it was either the 19th iteration, and some people believe, which I don't think is true, that it was because it was in 2019. Regardless, it's COVID-19. What is COVID-19? It's a coronavirus. What is a coronavirus? It's basically a cold. It's a flu. It's that type of a virus. We get them all the time. They hardly do anything to us. They drag us down. But yet, there are flu pandemics like last year that killed over 100,000 Americans. We didn't shut anything down. We didn't shut anything down. Stop and consider everything that's been said here, okay? If all of this is being done for something that basically doesn't exist, or, and this is what I was getting to, or all the people they state have it, that test is testing for the marker of a coronavirus because the coronavirus, the flu this year, ain't like the flu next year or the flu last year. The reason why the flu vaccines don't hardly work at all, even though they try to make out they do, they don't, is because they make them for 10 to 15 versions of the flu each year. There's about 115 versions of the flu each
year. Mutating constantly.
It mutates so much that you can't actually test for a specific, you have to test for a class. What class? Coronavirus. If you've ever had a cold or you've ever had the flu and you think their experts don't know this, do you think that they haven't planned this right into the, oh, we're all going to die equation? Do you think the amount of people testing positive well, the coronavirus is anywhere near accurate? It's not.
I couldn't agree with you more, Roger. But you try and tell somebody that.
I do.
I know, but the general population still, with that kind of a statement, would just look at you sideways. But
of course.
What an easy one to bring on to the public that they could hide and very well diagnosed as something that we're all going to have in our bodies anyways. And then, of course, they've got their buddies over at the World Health Organization funded by Bill Gates and Communist China and all the backdoor deals that are being made. Who's going to wear it? Well, but you mean it came out of a lab in Winnipeg in Manitoba? What? What are you talking about? Justin Trudeau had his fingers in there? God goodness, and Roger. Back. Justin Trudeau, our knight in shining armor? Come on.
Not only that, we heard Roger Landry had something to do with it.
That guy's a nutcase, buddy. I heard they had him locked up for insanity reasons, but they let him out.
That should have happened a long time ago.
Well, Roger, when you look at everything that's going on in this world today, if you're not going insane and something, then you got really good brains, man. Because a lot of it, I'm waking up some days and asking myself if this is really going on, but it is. It really is. And it's ramping up, buddy. It really is. the levels of insanity in our society.
I don't have a fatalist attitude. What I do have is an attitude that things are going to be tested that have never been tested in this country. Things are going to be tested that have never been tested in Canada, okay? That we're going to go down paths that we never expected to go down because we were too comfortable living in our comfortable lives. If you take how Canadians live, if you take how Americans live on the whole, and you compare it to the rest of the world, we're relatively comfortable. Even our poor are comfortably poor where it can be afforded. Okay, there are places where, and I never want to see anybody suffer. But the point here is what we're looking at. Okay, what you're talking about is how is society being impacted? The biggest impact is to those who have the most freedoms. And that's an absolute fact. In a country that has a totalitarian regime like China, they tell you what to do and you do it. You grew up thinking that. That's your way of life. So when you're told you're going to do this because of the coronavirus, you do it. And you don't even think about it. But if you're in America and it pushes you outside of your comfort zone, or you're in Canada and it pushes you into an area you really don't want to have to go all the time, then we start to complain. I'm telling you, I don't have a fatalist attitude because I know for a fact there is a serious grumbling in the ground in America. I know it for a fact. It's coming from the heartland and it is swelling outward. And I also know that Americans are notoriously lazy, lackadaisical, and I don't know, not very ambitious about making sure that their leaders do exactly what they promise they're going to do. As a matter of fact, downright negligent. But what we are good at is once you push us past a certain point, and we talked about this on your last show, then the growl and the roar is freaking awesome, and we're getting there. So I think when you start to see that groundswell rising, and Barry, we're not talking months, we're talking demonstration. Weeks.
Well,
we're talking weeks.
Yeah. Well, we just had a demonstration on Parliament Hill, Roger, and yep. The last number we saw were 10,000 people showed up on Parliament Hill. It's the biggest one we've had in Canadian history. So Canadians are starting to wake up in droves.
When you see what's being done in America to foment as much hatred and literal, okay, put us at each other's throats on a war footing, when you put together, and there will be more coming out about that, a black militia with semi-automatic weapons, okay, how many of them, like I said, actually had permits to carry them and march them right through a state park? I'm not saying they did anything wrong and they were peaceful, but what they did do right into the microphone was tell the white militias, we're here, we're in your house, what you going to do? This is what they said. Anybody listening to this show that doesn't think that wasn't choreographed, anybody listening to this show who doesn't think that that wasn't done to do exactly what it did to foment more hatred?
Yep.
Because what you need to understand is that the guns that are owned in private hands in America could be as much as a half a billion, 500 million guns, some say 350 million, and a vast majority of those are owned by the people that this put together black militia would be up against. It was a show pony. End of story. But why are you trying to foment hatred to the point where we start to kill each other? That's the only reason for this. There is no other reason.
Yeah, that was kind of like my army against your army, guys. Let's start shooting.
And that's not going to work for them. It doesn't matter how bad. Like I said, this wasn't meant to start a war. This was meant for publicity. End of story.
Barry?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to add something here if I could.
Sure, Steve. We always let you say a couple things in there during the course of the hour.
Yeah, and then you tell me to shut up. I know.
Can I tell you now? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Please, Steve.
No, you are correct, Roger. But I've said for many, many years, they will throw anyone and everyone under the bus this to keep their ultimate secret alive. And that secret is that they don't have any authority or power over us. They will throw presidents, they will throw princes, yep. Royal princes under the bus. Yep. They will throw anyone that they have to keep that secret alive. Barry?
Huh? Are you finished?
Yes, I am. Okay. Now, shut up.
Hold on a second, because I really got something to say about that. I do. Okay, and it's not often, and believe me, this is not personal, all right? Awesome! Well said. And I agree with every word. But the one thing you left out is you're saying that's the one secret they don't want anybody to know. But this
The biggest one. Biggest one, yes.
These are actually people who telegraph everything we're not supposed to know.
Yes.
Exactly.
So what you are not supposed to know and I am not supposed to know, people like us actually do know because they do telegraph it. And if you know where to look or how to look, there are signs all over the place. And hindsight is 20/20.
Well, they want to know what Prince Andrew knows now. At least the FBI does.
Yeah, well, they got a woman.
I'm going to tell you, that whole, I really hope that she doesn't die from two bullet holes, suicide in the back of her head.
No. She's going to die of COVID-19. There's going to be two bullet holes in her head, but she's going to test positive for a COVID virus. And so she's going to be, she was one of them COVID-19 deaths.
It was a COVID-led virus, buddy, that got her. It's a new strain that just came out of some lab in Texas. No, but I tell you, that whole charade right now could fall apart, and I really hope it does. A lot of heads could roll, including a lot of people in government that would just get people's heads shaken if we really started going over the list of the people implicated. But one thing I wanted to run by you real quick here, Roger, the USMCA agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. You know what's happened in Canada here where about 1,000 Canadians delivered documents to the front door of the United States Embassy, were accepted by an FBI agent or an agent at the door, almost demanding under the agreement that Trump bring some law and order and force the RCMP in Canada to do their job. And there's a lot of rumors and a lot of stuff I'm hearing about this since those documents were delivered. Have you heard or know anything about that? And is there any credence to it?
Again, I don't know enough to say anything, and you know me at this point, okay? It's all about integrity with me. Okay, if I knew something, I would say something. And that doesn't mean that over the next week or two, we can't get together and have a little bit more of a conversation. But
investigated, buddy.
Yeah.
You're the American agent.
Oh, God.
Excuse me.
Look, Barry, the one thing that everybody who listens to this show should walk away with is what you are looking at, what you are seeing is not reality. Toto has pulled the curtain back. It's up to you to see past and into reality because the COVID-19 is not what they say. All right. The businesses are being bought up or intentionally destroyed. We are moving into what can only be described as a socialist attitude where a few large businesses and the government control everything and anything. You couldn't do that before. But now with the wrecking ball, COVID-19, and all of the sheeple they could have ever asked for, what you have seen is the whittling down of these small and mom and pop and middle sized businesses that just couldn't stay afloat. And it is massive. This is global changing. It's not just in the United States because they just told the Brits that it's going to get a little harder for them over there too. Because guess what? COVID-19 is coming back. Even though you've got the Brit doctors saying this is a bunch of bull crap. So anyway, what you need to take away from this is what's going to happen is what you allow to happen. That's it. Because it's not going to kill you. And the racial differences in America have been, I don't know, so overblown and weaponized as to cover insanity. And the black leaders themselves are telling us this. So if they're lying to us about the racial divide, if they're lying to us about COVID-19, and they're lying to us by saying that the Republicans are our friends, but they haven't got the balls to stand up and say anything, or to rescue a nation that is in serious turmoil, all you see today from mainstream media is a lie. The biggest harm you could possibly do yourself is to hang everything you believe on what you see on MSNBC or CNN or CBS, or, and you get my hint. I'm not telling you to watch the Liberty Beacon. I'm not telling you to read us. What I'm telling you is that there is enough alternative media out there that you can get enough viewpoints out there that you can come up with something that works for you, something you believe, something that's based on fact. Because what you are seeing, what you're eating, what you're breathing, what you're wearing, it's all a lie.
All of it. Well said, Roger. And with that being said, my friend, this hour has flown by as usual. Yes. So I'm going to thank you for coming in today, bud. I'm going to get you back in again real soon. You know that. And as always, it's a pleasure having you in. And last quick talk, and I'm going to have to let you go, my friend.
The last quick talk is thelibertybeacon.com. Go to the top of that. You will find a banner that has some of our other websites. Yes, we do actually have websites that are located outside of the country. That's why we call ourselves a global network. But, Barry, it's always fun. Basically, it's always stress relieving. Let me say that. And for that, you are appreciated, my friend.
Well, thanks, Roger. And, yeah, guys, follow what Roger's doing in the Liberty Beacon. It's well worth your time. Okay, I'll be back in about 3 minutes with Wayne Peters and Derek Story, and they're in a tent right now at Parliament Hill in Ottawa. So this should be kind of interesting. Yes. An actual Canadian tenting demonstration, guys. So hang in there, and we're going to hear what's going on in Ottawa. Back in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger Landers for coming in. Always great having that man in. The information, some of the knowledge he shares is much appreciated, I know, by the audience and by myself. I got Wayne Peters and Derek Story in for the second hour here now. The demonstration I talked about in Ottawa on Parliament Hill, they were involved in organizing that and played a big part in the whole event as it went down on Wednesday. I believe it's safe to say it's the largest demonstration in Canadian history against our government that I'm aware of. But it's good to have these two gentlemen in. They're actually in a tent right now. And I don't know how actually close you are to the Parliament buildings, but you're on the Parliament grounds, correct, Wayne?
I am looking across at the buildings as we speak.
Okay, so you're like, what, maybe a 500, six, maybe 100 yards or 500, 600, 700 yards away from the building, something like that?
We're about 100 yards away. We are holding the line right at the National War Memorial.
Cool. And you've been there since Wednesday, of course, right? You set up the tent on Wednesday?
We did, yep, Wednesday night.
And how's the public response been?
You know, it's been surprising. I really got to say that, Barry. You know, I expected a lot more negativity, but it took until today, I think it was today, that till we got our first drive-by negative cat call. There was a couple of people that said they didn't agree with our message as they walked by, but it's been overwhelmingly positive. But the big thing is that is surprising and yet not. Was that nobody knows that we're here in Ottawa.
No media is covering this.
No, nobody even knows that what happened in Ottawa on the Hill on Wednesday. There was zero coverage. Nobody knows in Canada what's going on in Canada.
Well, that's our friends at CBC, right? They cover all events concerning Canadians, don't they?
Well, they did come out and they waited.
I'm paying their salaries. I thought that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, they did their due diligence. They came out, and when everybody marched off to the American Embassy, and there was only a couple of hundred people left there, they took a picture then and said that's all that showed up.
Well, that's factual journalism in Canada for you, buddy.
Yeah.
That's what $1.3 billion will get you.
Yeah, right. But, right now, though, we better not defund the police because the police gave us a number closer to 10,000. So we need those guys to stay on their job so that we can know how many people are protesting our government. Because the news won't tell you.
Well, you know, Wayne, I've talked to a lot of people that were there already this week, and they said the vibration and the energy there was unbelievable. That basically the message at the meeting was, the get-together was, let's go inspire 10 people each this week and let that grow, because what we're seeing right now in Canada is an awakening. We need to see it amplify right now. We really do, because this government we're dealing with is really, really out of control right now. Yep, unbelievable, sure. Some of the things that's going on in our government in Canada. But you know what? We don't really have to look at Canada. We only need to look around the world, because we see the exact same agenda being played out in all G7 countries right now. It doesn't matter who you look at. The agenda is basically the same with just a slight different tilt on it. But it's all the same agenda. You
know, I saw one of the most amazing things I've seen in my lifetime so far, and absolutely above and beyond one of the most unexpected things I've seen in Canada in the last year was on Wednesday. Now, this event was pretty much all organized from out west, people out west. A lot of people from the east were helping, but the primary organizers were all from out west. And on Wednesday morning, just before noon, when I'm standing below Trudeau's office window, I hear this noise and I look up the street, and here are 1,000 Quebecers from Quebec marching up the street screaming liberté at the top of their lungs to support a movement based in the West.
Inspiring, wasn't it, to see people get together under a common cause?
I wouldn't have believed it if I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes.
You know what that is, Wayne? It's a demonstration of people actually now looking in the mirror and saying, hey, we've got to put aside our differences, okay? Because there's many differences that are put into society to keep us divided. Okay, we know that. The mechanism of division runs deep in our society, but we've got to put them aside. Whatever keeps us apart, we've got to separate that and put it aside and focus on the one enemy right now that's facing our country.
Well, I gotta say, that's the first time I've ever seen a large group of citizen Quebecers standing in the same space with a bunch of citizen Albertans, and it's nothing but love and peace and harmony and one message against our corrupt government.
Yeah, I saw that. That was inspiring, Wayne, but it's just an example of what really can happen when people start thinking about, like I said, putting aside the differences that keeps us apart. And, you know, we could do a show on that just an hour. We could talk about divisions in society. We won't go there today, but we could talk about that literally for an hour, even though they don't look like divisions. They are. Some are subtle, some are more than subtle, but they all are divisions, and they keep us separated and keep us fighting. Look what's going on right now with this racial crap. I mean, the climate, you notice that climate change is kind of just not even talked about anymore. It's I haven't heard anything on the news about climate change. All the disasters that they were talking about a couple, 3 years ago, that seems to have disappeared. And then COVID-19, well, that's in a dormant stage right now. They're going to come back with the new second wave because they told us about that. But now we've got this racial thing going on, you know. It's what's next, Ben? What's next, Wayne?
Well,
what's the new best thing?
Honestly, Barry, it's things are changing. The board is moving, and disruptors happen even to the best laid plans. We all know that, and I think that's exactly what is happening right now. I do fully believe in my heart is a disruption in those plans. I mean, being in running around the back side of everything that's been going on and seeing the everything happening and the people coming together more so in the very recent, you know, last few day, weeks, a month or so, basically since the COVID. But it's showing very differently. We hoped for 10,000. We didn't expect we'd get 10,000, and we got 10,000. That is so significant. But what was even more significant to me is being, and the arch enemy of the mainstream media, I watch what they do and we pay attention to that. After this event on the 1st, I have one video alone that has 700,000 views. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of us filming out there. I'm just a little guy. There's other people that have 2 million views on videos. Donald Trump, on their Independence Day, talked about the friends north of the border picketing and protesting, and they're in big trouble up there. He wasn't talking about us as in big trouble up there. He was talking about Trudeau being in big trouble up here. When you take a look at the numbers that came out of the public's eye about an event that no mainstream media gave fair coverage, which made them look bad in the end, but there are many, many millions of people that are realizing they've had enough, yep, and they're watching, and they're paying attention, and they're getting involved.
Barry, when we're out on the streets handing out flyers and people ask us what, like, you know, that Canada Day event in Ottawa, was that you guys? And we're like, yes, it was us. They say, you know what? Thank you very much for doing that, because they didn't want a virtual Canada Day. Then a lot of people came out and came up to the hill that didn't know about it. They're just curious and they enjoyed their time with everybody.
Yeah, well, so much for Trudeau trying to shut down Canada Day, man.
Right, right.
The hypocrisy of that man, it runs so deep, it makes me sick. You know, I mean, what we've been hearing about COVID-19 for the last 4 months from
his
little speeches in the morning to isolate and social distance and blah, 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 and just virtual signaling all day long and preaching to us. And then he goes out and attends a Black Lives Matter meeting, and he gets on his knees for 9 minutes in front of a Marxist organization like Black Lives Matter. What else do we need to know about Trudeau?
He bows to the youth.
What we need to know about Trudeau is how many people are actually truly upset about Trudeau. That's what we need to know about Trudeau. And then we need to know how do we connect them to action. Because this was just one day. and we reached millions of people. There was millions of people that felt, even through the videos, exactly the same thing the people felt through here. And I think they spoke pretty loudly in a voice that I don't think, well, no politician in recent Canadian history has heard that.
Yeah, there was a lot of good speakers there, man. I really like listening to Laura Lynn Thompson. She's one of my heroes in this world right now. And there was all kinds of good speakers. And the energy that must have been there, I would have loved to have been there to feel that.
And the energy was unbelievable.
It was the most emotionally charged, positive energy thing I've ever seen in my life in Canada. I can't imagine my life moving forward now not having been a part of that, because that day something started in Canada. It really, really did. And we're seeing it continuing. The energy that is, I'm talking about the people that are curious, paying attention, the swing to alternative media from mainstream media has been astronomical. All of our platforms are being so overwhelmed that with growth and questions and comments that it's beyond our ability to manage on a timely manner anymore. This is a sign that things are moving regardless of how it appears directly in our face at each moment. But the momentum is definitely building, and it's, some of this stuff is going to have to be addressed very, very quickly. They can only pretend so long. And like I said, I mean, this was just one day, a couple of things. There's other things that are happening as well. That declaration that I wrote, I didn't even realize it, but on the morning of this captain, retired captain, read that declaration, and he had some large copies of it on proper, you know, documentation, paperwork and everything. He was hand-delivering these declarations of notice to a pile of political controllers. And this video alone has more, well over 200,000, probably a quarter of a million views on it. This is stuff that I, even though I wrote the document, I have no idea what's going on. I had no idea. Right, so now this is just one case again of people standing up and saying they've had enough.
Well, that document you wrote, Wayne, that could be applied to any country in the world right now. It's basically the same agenda going on everywhere in every country. So when I read it, I found it very inspiring. How long would it take you to read that document, would you say?
5 or 6 minutes.
Do you want to read it? I'll give you that opportunity if you want to read it. I think the listeners would probably like to hear it.
Sure.
If you're willing. If you're up to it, buddy, let's do that. Because I'm sure people out here would like to hear it. I know I found it very interesting, so maybe they'll find the same thing. Go ahead.
Well, interestingly enough, I did read it on a video and addressed it to Donald Trump, and it's had 100,000 views too. So I'll read it. Notice of Declaration. We the people of Canada, a sovereign a nation... The nation of Canada are governed by a political party espousing a political ideology of its own. We recognize and assert said party's authority arises only from the citizens of Canada and not from persons or entities external to our country who have no vested interest in the preservation of Canada and may not hold the same political, ideological, ethical, moral, and philosophical views as Canadians as set out in the British North American Act 1867. While we recognize that all persons home and abroad have individual rights, we assert they also have individual responsibilities in accordance with natural law. We, the people of Canada, will no longer surrender our natural, fundamental, or acquired rights under laws duly enacted under the authority of the people of Canada to the will of an unelected global authority. Our right of sovereignty is non-negotiable, even by a duly elected leader of a sitting government within our borders. Under the United Declaration of Human Rights, we release the sovereign nation of Canada and its rightful citizens from all binding and non-binding agreements. They do not comply with our sovereign national or human rights. Whereas Canada is founded upon the following principles, supremacy of God, equality of individual right and individual responsibility, the right to work towards individual goals, promoting health, liberty, and happiness of ourselves and our fellow citizens. We recognize the limits of our abilities and resources to accommodate the demands of the world. We do not consent to the depletion of our resources without our consent to others outside of our borders, such that we, the rightful owners of said resources, are placed in a negligible or vulnerable position. The form of government to preside in Canada is that of a free market democracy, wherein all are considered equal and having the same rights and responsibilities. While individual rights are fundamental, so are individual responsibilities for oneself. The rule of law will prevail in the case of a conflict between rights and responsibilities, said law having been duly enacted by a legitimate government representative of the people, elected in accordance with the Westminster parliamentary system. Power and authority of any sitting government is derived from the people. Government may be recalled at the request of the people, and impeachment of any party leader or member may occur by petition of the people said member represents. In the case of a party leader, said leaders may be recalled by members of their party at the discretion of party members at any time. An appearance of conflict of interest shall be deemed a conflict of interest, whether it is in its actuality a conflict, requiring any member of parliament to step down forthwith. No politician is protected by their office against criminal charges of any kind and shall be held accountable for their actions in accordance with governing law at twice the penalty, as they were in a position of public trust at the time. Forthwith, we, the people of Canada, will no longer surrender our natural, fundamental, acquired, and God-given rights to the sitting government of Canada. No longer do we, the citizens, people, and permanent residents of Canada, grant them authority over us. Its authority is hereby revoked. Canadians are the rightful owners and shareholders of Canada and require the following from their government in a timely fashion: an independent and fully transparent investigatory tribunal into the criminal activities of all United Nations policies and representatives, political representatives, banking systems, alleged corporate crimes, NGOs, and any so-called non-binding agreements related hereto. An immediate halt to any and all illegal and or pay-to-play migration and immigration. A moratorium on all international banking agreements, as well as a full, transparent, and comprehensive investigation of same. An immediate end to foreign austerity measures. Implementation of Canadian-initiated referendums for all issues affecting national Canadian issues under the purview of the federal government as per the British North American Act, such as transportation, taxation, monetary policies, interprovincial transfers, foreign investment, and foreign aid. An immediate moratorium on blood oil subject to tribunal investigations. An immediate moratorium on foreign infrastructure investment, instead focusing on Canadian infrastructure improvement. Immediate investigation into Huawei 5G dangers and hazards, both long-term and short-term, as well as personal security and safety therefrom, with complete transparency and a full report made to the public in a timely manner. In the event the UN is uncooperative with respect to investigations of the aforementioned areas of concern, we, the citizens of Canada, further demand Canada withdraw from the United Nations, and all funds paid for future membership or benefits shall be requested to be returned to the nation of Canada by the United Nations forthwith. In the event the United Nations refuses to return funds already received from the nation of Canada for future fees, gifts, and donations, a full investigation and examination of the monetary practices of the United Nations in the World Court is requested. Now, this is the important part. Upon reading this, you are considered notified of the people's will. This is the moment in time of your opportunity to stand of the people's will or against it. No opportunity to plead ignorance of the will of the people will forthwith be accepted. That has made it to the highest seats of power in Canada.
Well, you know, thanks for doing that, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Wayne, but you could take the word Canada out of that statement, guys, and insert your own country's name, and with the exception of a few differences, we'd basically be talking about the same animal that's operating in your country right now. Mm-hmm. So thanks for doing that, Wayne. And you said you sent a copy of this actually to Donald Trump?
I read a copy on it, and I tagged him in it, and I addressed the video directly to him.
Cool.
I'm sure it's been delivered to him. It was also put on Q, I do believe.
Yeah, there's a Q drop made.
There was a Q drop made about what's going on up here as well. So people are paying attention. I've been flooded for calls from all over the world. Regardless of what Trudeau wants, he's going to be faced with an issue.
Multiple issues, I would say.
Well, and here's a beautiful thing about this. Like you mentioned about how that you could fit this into almost any country if you change the word Canada. That was my thinking behind it when I wrote it. When I wrote this, I had in mind every province, every culture, every ethnicity, every religion, every race, color, and creed in mind. Would they agree with the principles in this? It was about the principles. None of these discussions are being had in our government. They all want to debate COVID and racism and
gender identity. things that are very, very pertinent in our society is what they want to debate. And it's really sad to see how far we've gone. It really is. But you know what you said, Wayne, and I agree that, you know, I said it a couple of weeks ago, and I'm saying it again now, that I'm engaging in conversations locally with people that I never engaged in before, that they're actually really starting to become very concerned about what's going on in their country.
Well,
some people I can't answer for, because as far as I'm concerned right now, Wayne, there is no excuse for not knowing what's going on in Canada. That anybody with any level of IQ should be able to sit down in a couple hours and ask themselves what is going on inside of the government and what's coming down the road if we allow this to continue on.
Your
declaration rings true.
There might not be an excuse, but there is absolutely a blame that needs to be laid. And that is against the gaslighting, which is supposed to be a crime in Canada. But this paid propaganda machine using Canadian tax dollars to follow a narrative that only complies to the UNSDA and their 17 points.
Exactly.
Our media is here to educate us and train us to think, speak properly to fit into the United Nations agenda. It has nothing to do with the people and what they need to know to make educated decisions. And that should be treason.
Yeah, and that's the biggest obstacle that seems to be in our way right now is that a lot of people, even though we have these shows and we talk about it and you talk about it in public, they still go home at night and they watch CBC and that's their source of information and they go to bed believing this stuff. We got to break that paradigm, and I do see a change coming, but it's got to accelerate, Wayne, because we are really in a big pile. We're in a big pile of poop right now.
I really think that paradigm changed this week, and that was what I was alluding to earlier was, I mean, I'm not giving you the numbers of what our channel did to look for applause for what we did. Our numbers are from the smallest fish in the alternative media sea. So if the smallest fish is getting that kind of numbers, we have reached tens of millions of people.
Between
that
everybody.
Is hurting the narrative.
Well, then let's hope we see an effect in society where society actually gets involved and not just
this. We're going to have an interesting day to check this out here because, interestingly enough, after Canada Day, people are going, now what? Well, it just so happens an emergency meeting in Parliament next Wednesday at noon, and we happen to have a group of patriots that are looking for another opportunity to protest him. So hashtag, let's do it again. The call out is on. There is another protest coming on July 8th this coming Wednesday, starting at 11 o'clock, pots and pans.
Bring your pots and pans, guys, and come
camping.
And
make some noise. Make sure that when they're filming, that we will make sure that while they're filming that session of scamdemic talks and how they're going to steal more money to give out to the communist lazies that wants to just live off the system and put our grandkids deeper in debt, they're going to hear us banging our pots and pans outside. And I guarantee you they're going to underestimate how many people are going to be there again this coming Wednesday. People are already flying in again from Alberta for this coming Wednesday, and we're going to do it again. And we're going to keep doing it, and we are going to keep holding the line here at the War Memorial, and we're going to keep talking to people about what's righteous, what's right, what matters for Canada, and people are listening.
Well, what can I say to you guys, man? I'm sitting here just applauding you, and I wish I could be there. I'm stuck up here in northern British Columbia, and it's really hard for me to get into the fight, but I wish I was there because I'd be standing right with you right now. There is nothing more important right now in our lives to really try and make Canadians and the whole world understand the ramifications of not stopping what we see going on right now.
Well, this is our opportunity. We've put the media on the back foot. They're on the reactive now. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They've been busted in their lie. The people are seeing the true nature of Canadians. Calling us racist isn't going to work anymore. So now they're scrambling as to what to do. So now this is why next Wednesday is so important, that if we can continue this momentum across the country and do the same thing at the different seats of legislature as well, this makes it undeniable. They're going to be forced into having real conversations and having real answers. And this is the only way that Canadians are going to get their freedom back, because what they're ultimately facing is a massive growing movement that understands that this is an illegal government. They have no right to treat the people of Canada the way they are. They have stolen from Canadians for 89 years. They have put us $4.1 trillion in debt. And the Canadians, enough of them have figured out that we have an easy button. Boom, one button. Easy, done, debt-free, clean slate. What could we do with Canada then? With a clear slate on the financial books and a legal, legitimate government of the people. All we have to do is stand up now, because we won't get another chance.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wayne, that the window of opportunity is closing. It's still there for us. But let's just see what happens on Wednesday. I would say to anybody that's listening right now that's in the area to try and get out. I'd also say that anybody in Canada that's listening to the show right now, to send Rebel Media a little email and ask them to attend the event. The more requests they get from Canadians, the more influence we'll have on them attending the event. I'd like to see them cover it. I'd be surprised if they don't, especially if it's starting to get some real results. And henceforth, the Rebel Media now has 1.4, 1.5 million subscribers. We need to reach that base with some message. So I'll make a point of emailing them, and I'll also email Andrew Lawton at True North and make them aware of the event. We need them out to cover this.
There's another side of this game that they're playing with us, and they're doing it intentionally to play with the people. I do believe in because this is my field, that they intentionally didn't give us a bad light. They just said no light. The next day they came out with an article saying that Trudeau was surging in popularity and his Liberals were surging in popularity. And here's the thing. We're still here. They knew we were going to still be here. They could not dare show something patriotic and people making an actual stand. So I would be impressed if those media buses came out to the veterans memorial and talk to us about how we are here now on day 5 on the same place that they covered continuously when it was Extinction Rebellion blockading the country and camped out at the war memorial. They had all the time in the world to give those guys media, but you know what? We will inspire the people when they hear our story, and they cannot allow that.
Well, the more we call it the hypocrisy, the more the people might see it, okay? And what you're talking about is absolute hypocrisy. And what we're going on? Well, we know who's paying these people's paychecks and who's influencing them and what's going on behind the scenes. And we know about that. Normal Canadians really don't get it yet, Wayne. So what you guys are doing, like I said, I applaud that. It really gives you an opportunity to sit and have face-to-face, heart-to-heart conversations with people.
And well, I knew when I got a million views on my page that the media had lost their credibility. This was going to hurt them.
Well, so it should, man.
Absolutely.
We're paying these guys to destroy our country. The media is the biggest. I think that the next demonstration, mass demonstration, should be in front of the main offices of the CBC and demand accountability.
Stay tuned for our YouTube channels in coming days.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, that would be the next step, guys, because we really got to bring the Canadians public attention to what's going on with CBC. Like I said, you know, sure, we're getting a lot of people going to alternative now. I see the shift. I see the numbers going in all kinds of groups and lots of people joining in. But we need to push this really hard right now because we're up against a monster that's growing at light speed. People really don't realize just how easy it would be right now for total chaos to erupt in Canada. And, you know, I'm not a doomsdayer, but I just realize that when they get their backs up against the wall, they're going to come out swinging. And what they have in their little toolbox, none of us really know, but we've got a pretty good idea of what they're capable of doing. And I'm just saying, hey, we really need to get this going now because a couple of years from now, things are going to be really different in Canada.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up because it's not been all sunshine and lollipops here. We know about the radical left and the tactics that they use, and they have been fully engaged in preparing and have actually identified themselves and let us know some of their plans or their intended plans. And it's not looking good for the handful of patriots on the Hill here right now. But it's a game that they're playing, and we're as much as we're not here to negotiate with those guys. They've done a lot of horrible things for a very long time. We want people to see how Canadians do it right. You know, there's going to be pushback. The pushback is coming, and the setup is coming. Derek and I have been in the trenches with these guys for a very long time, and a couple of them may change their minds on what they think and do, but by sheer weight from above, because they cannot allow patriotism to grow in Canada. We cannot allow nationalism to grow in Canada because that is the single biggest threat to the global governance. This is coming, and we need more Canadians to stand up. You know, we've got 11 tents here right now, and we've told the people on the Hill that if we get 100 tents, we're taking the Hill. What are you going to do? And they say probably nothing if you get that many. But if you get a half, if you're only coming with 10 or 11, guess what? You're not getting in. You know, I mean, this is the stance that they're taking. And this is what's surprising about the walk-by traffic that we're talking to, the everyday people. They're so stunned. They're used to seeing some radical leftist, greenist, alphabet soupish, some sort of
snowflake. Get that word in there.
Yeah. You know, camped out doing this kind of stuff in Ottawa. Never before have they ever seen a group of conservatives do something like this, let alone a diverse group of Canadians from all sides of the country. There's three veterans in the group. There's a deaf-mute indigenous kid from Saskatoon in the group. They can't use any of their usual labels against us. It doesn't work.
So hold on, wait, hold on. So these 11 tents are all in one area? You're all guys are camped in one little area there?
Yep, absolutely. We have set up a perimeter at the War Memorial in downtown Ottawa across the street from the Parliament buildings, and we've been holding this ground for 5 days.
Well, I didn't know that, guys. I'm really kind of in the dark on this, so I kind of feel embarrassed. I thought it was just you guys doing this thing, but there's 10 other tents up yourself. Numbers are always good, and it sounds like it's growing.
It is.
I wish I could be there, man. I'm bringing my tent. That's it. I'm heading out tomorrow. I'll be there in 4 days.
the support we've been getting from the locals, come use our shower, bringing us food, bringing us water, bringing us gas. We put a call out for a couple of chairs and a table. Boom, half an hour later, there's a folding table and chairs delivered. People coming by going, oh, my God, I thought I was alone. I've never seen anything like this in Ottawa. Why didn't I hear about any of this?
Yeah, well, you know, courage has a way of courage is contagious, guys.
It is.
You know, right now we're in a society where people are in fear, that we're indoctrinated to be in fear. No matter what we do, we're always looking over our shoulder, or we're afraid the tax man or some other government regulatory agency is going to come knocking on our door. That's the society we're in now. And what you guys are doing, it takes courage to do that, because we're in, that's where we are in 2020 Canada. And I applaud what you're doing. It's really setting an example for people walking by on the street that there is individuals out there that are willing to stick their necks out a little bit for what they believe in. And what you guys are doing is just, it's awesome. I just love it.
We knew this was going to happen long before the first this attempt was going to be made. And after writing that declaration, I knew, I didn't really expect much of a response. But the response that came when it went viral, I knew that it was going to be an easy decision. I was going to embed my media company and get the truth out about this. Whatever was going to happen was going to happen. But there was going to be a Canadian behind the lines with these people to share the truth out of here every day that we can, as long as they will let us. That's why we're here. We're not here camping on the hill here by ourselves. We have a group of people that deserve to be in the history books here beside us. So I want this message to get out to the rest of Canada and the world right now. If anything happens to these people, these are the best people in Canada, the bravest people in Canada. There's only, six of us, seven of us right now?
Seven of us, yeah.
That are willing to take whatever they deliver to save the rest of the people. And I hope people are watching, and I hope they remember that when the bad stuff comes, because it's going to come. Because the left, their cancel culture does not allow them to tolerate us here, let alone let it grow.
Yeah, and a few of them have families and left their families to come fight for their kids' rights and their freedoms.
There's a single mom here with a few kids. Our objective is to stay here and grow this movement until the government admits it's a de facto government, it is an illegal government, and agrees to a transition phase and let the people decide from there, and we install a legit legal government to govern Canada and a real constitution. The fraud has to end. We will never have a fair election as long as gangsters and criminals and syndicates control it. This has been proven over and over again. So anybody that wants to talk to me about election at this point, I'm not interested. I am all in on free Canada. Canadians need to be free. An election gives nobody freedom. No party will ever bring freedom to Canada at this point moving forward. It's impossible. So it's freedom or nothing.
Well, the word election is going to be one we're going to hear about, because I believe that Trudeau is going to call a snap election right now, that his numbers are high because of his rescue packages, bailing out all of Canada for a problem that he created and allowed to happen in the country. I mean, the agenda is so obvious, it's so in our face, the destruction of our economy, the destruction of small businesses in Canada, what the impact is socially, what's the impact on our kids, man. The whole thing is just total BS, and it's the biggest scam ever played on the human race. We've now given them a level of power that they've never experienced before. They did this little test on society. They found out how society reacted, and they got the reaction they wanted. And they think this is ever going to go away, gentlemen, that COVID 2, COVID 3, COVID 4, it'll just continue until people get smart enough to put a stop to it. And that's going to take a massive effort this time, because, like I said, they're drunk with power now. They have a new level of power they never experienced before. Go ahead.
They figured it out that they could rig the last election and get away with it. Now it needs a majority government. Now is the time to do it because of the pressure and the alternatives for – I'll tell you how the strength of the Conservative Leadership Party is going. I'm getting more views than any one of the leaders running for the Conservative Party. Okay? What opposition is that to him in a fixed, rigged election? If he calls one now, guaranteed he's going to win it because it's going to be a big, fat, juicy lie, and he will have that broken leadership race to base it on, and the media narrative that says he's winning, 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 winning already. Now he has a snap election, wins a majority, and they say, see, we told you he was winning.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I see it playing out here in the next 6 months, Wayne. I do. I mean, he's not going to let a good opportunity go by. He's got this sitting down right now in his little think tanks with all his little evil guys. And Gerald Butts and everybody else are all sitting down putting in his ear right now. And they're planning it. And media boy, I'll tell you, they got them in their back pocket. So we're up against a real problem. If he gets a majority for another 4 years, I don't care. I don't know where that's going to go, Wayne. I don't even think about that. Because I don't think there'll be anything left of Canada after another 4 years of majority Liberal government. I don't.
You know what? I don't think we're going to get there. And I think that
well, I don't want to reduce there, but that's the way I see it, the way it's going right now.
No, actually quite the opposite, sir. I take a look at the case of Iceland. They got their freedom back in weeks. This momentum that is building here right now, we will have Canada taken away from him in a month, two max. Then what?
Then it's going to be a very good day in Canada, wouldn't it?
Right?
Iceland is a good example. Iceland is a very good example, Wayne. They took it back.
They took it back, and they did it in very short order, and they did it with no shots fired. And that is exactly what's happening here. They used the same process. It's not rocket science. We've got all of the information every Canadian needs to make an educated decision. All we have to do is have the ability to get it to them. And that has been the challenge. And this is now, with this narrative change, is our opportunity to make sure they're educated that, number one, Canada is an illegal government, and two, we can be completely debt-free if we unseat the illegal government and put a legal one in. It's called odious debt. Gangsters don't get to keep the proceeds of their crimes. They have to pay responsible for the debts they create. These criminals will be treated exactly the same. That debt is not ours to bear. Why are we bearing it?
Well, we'll see where this USMCA goes here in the next little while. I think there's a little bit of credence to that, man. What Norman Travesty's doing right now, I applaud him, man. We need 1,000 Norman Travesty's in the country right now. We really do. I love that guy. I had him on last week, Wayne, and what a great individual. Really good man.
He's a hero to Canada, and he's another one that, I mean, he's already earned his place in the history book. And the interesting thing of it is as much as this USMCA agreements are going to put pressure and perhaps create charges and whatnot, that's still all based with people that are operating within a de facto legal system here in Canada. So how this is going to impact between agreements made de facto nation?
Good question.
Sovereign nation of Canada, then what happens with this? At that point, I do believe all treaties, negotiations, and whatnot would have to be readdressed, perhaps. I'm not going to say changed. I have no idea, but the outcomes would absolutely be different. Interesting time.
Very interesting times. We're at a pinnacle right now, and we are. Something's got to give in this country. People are getting very, very, very pissed off, to say the least. It's channeling that energy in the right direction, and what you're bringing forward is something I think most people could really wrap their hands around and grab it and run. So I applaud what you guys are doing. I applaud what Doug Force is doing, trying to educate people on de facto government. I've admitted it many times on shows that my brain has a hard time comprehending all this legal stuff. It really does. It's more of a simple mind that deals on a common sense basis. But what you're doing right now is definitely an answer. We are not going to get what I meant by 4 years of Liberal government. If it goes another 4 years of majority Liberal government and we don't put a stop to it, then our country is finished. I honestly believe
that. Absolutely. Okay?
So... I don't want to sound like a doomsdayer, but Canada cannot take another 4 years of a Liberal majority government.
That's the inevitable outcome if you take away the will of free men and what might happen in between. If the free will of the Canadian people is what will determine what will happen. But if we don't see some of it, that's a guarantee. We will not make another 4 years. We will not make another 2 years without life becoming completely opposite to what we know now. The economy has been collapsed. If they stay in any longer, it's never going to get better. Things are not going to balance themselves. We cannot continuously, and I mean the math, the numbers, the dollars and cents are public out there. You can find out that we're in a position of debt that we can never earn enough to repay. So
it's designed to collapse the economy. We know that, Wayne. It's coming. Yep. It's inevitable. Yep. What's going on right now in Canada, it's just a matter of time before it collapses. And when it does, of course, they'll come along with knights in shining armor with the new answer to the problem. It's all being planned out right now as we talk.
On that note, you know, removing Trudeau would be great. Hopefully the U.S. can do that, but it doesn't change or fix the system. That's where the other things that we're doing are so critically important for people to understand, and why we're trying so hard to turn it into table talk on a level that people can understand. Because this is really what the real discussions we need to be happening. I mean, yes, remove Trudeau, it cleans up some of the mess, but it doesn't change the system that allowed this to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, bringing him down might point to the system to most people that they haven't seen before, that it would bring people's awareness of exactly how deep the problems are that
people
haven't experienced before. So that would be, to me, a positive. We've got it.
It's all positive.
Huh?
It's absolutely all positive. The more that comes out and sees the light of day, but, you know, if Trump and his team can act on that quickly before too much more damage is happening, that's only going to solidify in concrete everything else that we've been talking about.
Yeah, and Trump isn't the answer to all problems. I'm on the fence as far as Trump's concerned. I'm still convinced that Trump is a player, but he's a player on a big scale.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if you take a look at the big picture, man, everybody that's involved in this charade got there for a certain reason. They're all playing a part. And I honestly believe that. So I'll stand on the fence. I like some of the things he's done, but I'm still convinced that Trump is just a player, buddy. One of the reasons I say that is his support of a vaccine. If he isn't educated to the point now to understand what's going on with COVID-19, with all the information available to that man about this virus and what's been going on in the United States of America, tells me that he's just a player with lipstick on. And that's my feeling. And I'll leave it at that.
Well,
man, COVID-19 is a pile of crap, and he's not a stupid man.
Anybody that plays in that system with any level of success has to be a player.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Right?
Exactly what I'm saying.
And then this is where, for me, an election is just changing out the players at the poker table. They're still all gambling and losing.
It's selection. It's not election, but it's a selection. Who's next?
Yeah.
Who are you grooming to fill the spot next?
Who can score enough social media points to win? Yeah.
Unless they shut us down, Wayne, and they're trying real hard to do that right now. Really hard.
Well,
look at some of the censorship. I'm seeing censorship now on Facebook that I've never seen before, ever. And it just seems to be getting better by the day.
Don't even get us started on the hoops we have to jump through, bro.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you guys are doing better than I am. What am I doing wrong, man? I'm, you know, I feel like I'm getting left behind here. I've only been in Facebook jail twice now. What am I doing wrong, man?
That's two more than you had, right?
Well, yeah, I know people have been in there five or six times now.
Constantly
getting in there. What do I got to do?
Just do more video. It's easier to hate when there's a face.
Anyways, it is great what you guys are doing, and I'm going to have to watch what happens on the 8th here, man. That's kind of interesting. I would love to see a huge, huge turnout of Canadians. If we're reaching the numbers on these videos that you say that we are, then I think we could expect a large turnout. because if people are paying attention, it's got to impact them the same way it impacts you and me and Derek and everybody else that sees what's going on in this country. It's got to have that effect on them. It's got to make them realize that this is much, much bigger than anything they've ever dealt with in their life, and it's going to take their involvement to stop it. I hope that happens. But yes, my prayer.
It has an impact to the level where a man who's at the end of his life, a veteran, served in two different companies and divisions for Canada, and watched the brothers that they swore that if one went, they all went, and he was the only one that came back. To see this man pick up his bugle and struggle with the energy and the ability to get up to the monument here and say goodbye to his fallen brothers and to blow his bugle for the last time and sound out taps to him, if that doesn't explain everything we're doing here, and if that doesn't reach and touch people where they need it the most, the sacrifice that have been given for this opportunity, for us to have this opportunity to stand as a free people and as a free nation. These are the kinds of things that the Canadians are not being shown or taught anymore, and we need help with that. You know, this is where it's, if it is to be, it's up to me. Principal has to come along. We have to take responsibility for our positions in Canada and find a way, to do something more that's going to make an impact within our abilities. There's people that are doing that, and we have to shed the fear for freedom. Freedom isn't free. We got to give up something for it. The question is how much and when.
Yeah, what are you willing to give up for freedom? Our forefathers died for it, man, and they're rolling in their graves right now because we're giving it up for nothing.
So that's why we chose the war monument as a monument to stand with our fallen soldiers and fight for what they fought for.
This is about freedom. It's not about elections. It's not about Antifa. It's not about this party or that party or this person or that person. This is about freedom for Canadians. And our intent is to hold this ground that was earned because of the freedom of that of the men that are honored in that monument right behind us that we are have occupied. And we're going to share everything we can from here. We've set up for so that at 8 p.m. Eastern each night, we're doing a news broadcast from here, from the site, to keep people up to speed the best we can within our circles, and let people know that you're not alone out there. People, good, honest, average, everyday people are standing for you. Come stand with us.
The power we have, people have no idea, Wayne. And we've got to embrace that now. More important than ever that we embrace the power that we have. We've got to educate people the power they do have. I hear it a lot from people. You know, they say to me, well, I know the government's corrupt and I know things are bad. I'm one person. What can I do? I can't do anything about it, man. It's just the way it is. Well, there's good responses to that. And that I hear a lot. And we've got to change people's thinking because there is things we can do. There's power in numbers. And the power that we have, we can put a stop to this. We have to put a stop to this. Knowing what I know at this point in my life, I can't stop. I know you guys can't stop, that we're committed to it. We only got 5 minutes left, guys, here. So I'm going to let you share real quick where people can find you. And exactly where you are in Ottawa right now, and then we'll have to shut out the show, but great having you guys in.
Yeah, you can find us at the War Memorial, or you can find me, Derek Story, on Facebook, or Noble Savages on YouTube.
I don't know how else to say it either. You know, you can find us, What's Up Canada, on Facebook and YouTube. Facebook is playing games. They don't like it when little guys like me get millions of views, so they're playing shenanigans. But we are broadcasting every day to YouTube and Facebook at this point. And while I got a second here, some of the other groups that are here, the CanadianRevolution.org page, doing phenomenal work. They are the primary leadership of this. They're amazing, amazing. And if anybody that brings a tent and camps out with us, we'll feed you too. So that's something you can do. Anybody that wants to do something, grab a tent, grab a sleeping bag, we'll feed you. Come to the hill and spend the night with us.
Well, I'm going to get into my transporter after the show's over, and I'll be there in about 15 minutes, guys.
Awesome. Well, there's people flying in from Alberta again.
Well, what can I say? I've said it many times during the course of the show. I applaud what you guys are doing and the courage. You're an example of courage that we really need in Canada right now because, like I said, many people are scared to death of their government, and we got to turn that around. They shouldn't be. They should be scared of us. We shouldn't be scared of them. And we've got to shift that paradigm in our society. It's time that they heard from the Canadian people. What you guys are doing, I applaud it. I'm jumping up and down. I'm sitting on my hands so I don't clap too loud. Okay. It's been great having you guys in, and I'll get you back in here in the near future, and we'll carry on with this conversation because there's a lot of things today that we didn't even begin to touch on, and we don't have enough time to even begin to start talking about some of the things going on in this country. But your inspiration, I hope it's rubbed off on people today, and maybe to set an example for people to actually get involved and do something that's going to make a difference. This is the time, guys. That we were chosen. I got to say that I think we were chosen to be here at this particular time in history. We didn't want to be here, maybe. It wasn't our choice to be here, but we are here. And the fact that we know what we know at this point, if you know what we know and you know what I know, you cannot turn your back on it, that you have to stand. And I applaud everybody that is standing right now.
I know that the people here are walking around in the armor of God. We are protected with a righteous cause for the people of Canada, and I feel safe and absolutely confident that in the end God wins and so will we, and it's just now is the time to just get a little bit of work done. Thanks for having us, Barry. Deeply appreciated.
Thank you, Barry.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Time to put the devil in his place.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay,
well, great having Roger Landry in, always, guys. I love talking with that man. I've enjoyed this conversation with Derek and Wayne. I'll get him back in here again in the near future. True Canadian patriots that are really making a difference in this country right now. It's an example of what just two gentlemen sitting in a tent, how they can influence people. I hope that today this show that maybe we've reached one or two people and we've influenced one or two people to get involved a little bit more than they are, because we are in a time frame right now that the window of opportunity is going to close in the future. I honestly believe that, but it's still there right now, and it's absolutely important that we all climb through it right now and get involved. Thanks for being on this week.
Side of the window.
Hey, time to go to the window and shout, guys, at the top of your lungs today. We're not going to take this crap anymore. Period.
No more.
Okay, thanks to Steve Roberts, always, for producing my show. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Always a slice, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I'm going to have Mark Friesen in next week, and second hour, I got a surprise guest coming in, so make sure you're here. Bye for now.